You're talking about the fundraising for that purpose. Yes. All right. Yes? Thank you, Herb. Now we have over 2 hours, as we promised you, for questions, discussion, comments, suggestions. And this meeting was called so that it would be your meeting, and we mean it in terms of your full and frank analysis as you see it, so that we have all the facts before us and can work as realistically as possible and as successfully as possible. Before getting into that discussion, let me just say, I think a number of you did receive written word of it this morning, that the response to the meeting tomorrow night of the presidents of your federations, our National Board of our Council, our Overseas Services Committee of our Council, and yourselves, that response has been so great, we've had to move out of the room we had reserved at the Warwick Hotel to a larger room at the Waldorf Astoria. That's tomorrow night at 8:15 after dinner. There will be no dinner served there. Your presidents did get wires to that effect, so they know. But knowing that you would be here personally this morning, we waited until this time since this just had to be changed day before yesterday. Now, before some of you came in, I announced also that because of the political activity which is underway in all of our communities with regard to our own congressmen, our senators, the White House itself, that we have arranged a luncheon meeting immediately following this meeting in this hotel in the Gold and White Suite with the staff of NCRAC so that we can similarly be brought up to date on what is underway and what is planned and what we can do there. A number of you, as you walked in this morning, brought checks as a result of the cash campaigns that are underway and which are so crucial. Those of you who came in late, I've been asked to suggest that you give them to Marty Peppercorn this morning before you leave. Now, Louis Pincus does have to go off to another meeting, and therefore I would hope that we could address our first questions before he has to go to him, so that we have the full benefit of his presence. And then we'll have Herb, and not only Herb, we have Lou Fox, the president of the council here. We have Eddie Ginsberg, the associate general chairman of UJA with us. Max Fisher would have loved to have been with us, but he is still overseas. And we also have Leo Bernstein with us of Israel Bonds, because so many of you have asked properly the relationship of this effort to the bond effort. Again, Joe Schwartz would have loved to have been with us. Joe went into the hospital yesterday afternoon. It's minor. He'll be out on Monday, but it was something which was scheduled before, and the doctor said he'd better go ahead with it. He will be out on Monday, and Leo, his assistant, is with us so that we can take full cognizance of what we can do nationally and what we can do in each of our communities to make sure that these two efforts tie in and don't compete with each other, but rather add to each other. So let's have your questions first directed to Louis Pincus while we have the benefit of his being with us. Yes? Can you louder, please?
Less than a week ago that I met with the National Conference of Jewish Communal Service when the full crisis was brought to our attention.
I take it you all heard the question. The community of Singlewood, New Jersey, which has been reaching its usual achievement, is $230,000, already $500,000, and striving to go far beyond that. Any other questions? To Mr. Pincus, particularly. Yes, Jack Kravitz. May I say we all welcome Jack back. As you know, he was ill for a while. Glad to see you here, Jack. Hank Zucker.
Question of financial support as well as military support. I think that everybody's asking that question. And is there any indication now of any American governmental financial support at this time?
Thank you.
Should I take them one by one?
How would you prefer?
All right. Louis suggested that if he could get all the questions, then he can do some of them may be interrelated, and he'll direct himself to all of them then. Yes, Marv Lerner, Toledo. Question of priority in terms of giving here we'll reserve for Eddie Ginsburg. That's a question of our reaction, our response, unless you feel it's something from that angle. Yes, any others to Louis Pincus particularly? Let's get them all on the table so we make sure that we've made the most of the opportunity to have them with us. Yes? Yes, the absorption costs, what are they that we will be addressing ourselves to particularly? Of course, that's very central. Yes? Yes. Others? Let's have them all. Yes, Mort? Mort Gabe in New Orleans.
Can we anticipate any further additional campaigns such as the one now embarked on by Hadassah?
Yes. What about the campaigns of other Israeli organizations? Yes? I know that's on Art Rosenshan's heart, too. All right. A lot of others. Yes? Any others? Have we got them all? I want to make sure we do. Let there be no unasked question of Mr. Pincus before he has to go. Yes?
We had a response from the university in the last 2 days, the University of Minnesota, where there apparently has been an effort by the Ugaliani agency where a number of students, indicate American students, go to Israel to replace the Israelis on the course, and efforts are made there to raise funds and raise requests for the desirable interdisciplinary effort.
You're talking about the fundraising for the students to go, or the students themselves going? You're talking about the fundraising for that purpose. Yes. All right. Yes?
Can you elaborate on that whole area of volunteers asking about what the program is actually hard? The man seems to have gone beyond the information. And since he's dealing with imaginary questions of bonds and gossip, could we deal with the whole area of fundraising by Israel organizations kind of related to this effort?
Yeah, two questions. One, the question of the volunteers themselves. Second, the question of all campaigns for Israel. Yes, Joe? Question, what's happened to immigration into Israel? Yes?
While we know publicly what we have to say in terms of what the money is going for absorption, etc., many people want to evaluate it in terms of military preparedness. Could we come touch on some aspects of the military situation. In other words, they say billions of dollars coming by. And I realize we cannot publicly state that, but I think that's...
Well, what the point was made was the money we're addressing ourselves to is for welfare absorption purposes. And that's the question which was asked by Bob Hiller. Yes? There's no evacuation of children from Israel. No. Yes?
We have a problem that's been posed about the Israeli students. We have about 300, and some of them feel they may be sent back, and what will happen in relationship to their families. And in addition to that, I'd like to raise this question of the purpose, again, of the fundraising as between bonds and the UJA in terms of where the money is going to be used. The claim has been made by Bonds that this money is real defense money. And I think that against absorption.
The question of the use of the money, whether it channeled through Bonds, the use of the money channeled through UJA. Have I missed anybody at all? Yes? Well, that's two-pronged. One is what the money is really for. The public relations question is the question we deal with here, rather than Mr. Pincus, how we interpret it here. And we'll deal with that here, yes. Any others? Yes, Joe. A little louder. Well, they said there used to be a saying about armies winning a war on their feet, but I don't think we're in that stage anymore.
How do you tie into that?
He says, how do you tie into that? But that's a Cleveland pun. Now, any others? I think we've just, somebody said one thing we don't want is for the Israel army to operate on a shoestring. Any others now? All right, Lou, you have just one or two brief questions.
I'll try and answer all those that really apply to me, and I hope that I will answer them all. First of all, I want to deal with this question of additional campaigns. Naturally, there are many institutions which are already feeling the results of total mobilization or almost total mobilization. A request will go out from government and agency authorities saying that this fundraising is priority, and that everybody else must set aside their own fundraising in preference to this. Naturally, many of these institutions are American institutions and can only react or not react to persuasion. I understand that Hadassah has been spoken to, the Histadrut has been spoken to. They will all be spoken to. The attitude of the government and the agency is perfectly clear, and I may be quoted on this, and you can get it in writing. There is complete accord between the government and the agency on this. All Israeli institutions must give way for this fundraising effort, even although they can make a very strong case. If Hadassah explains that nurses are important, or Magen David Adom wants to send blood plasma and that kind of thing, all that has been weighed and this is the decision. Naturally they will have problems. There's no royal road to satisfy everybody, and in times of war you make all kinds of priority decisions, and this is a major one. Coupled with the giving directly to Israel, I want to relate it to what somebody said about it being illegal. It's not illegal for anybody to give directly to Israel. It's not illegal, as your law now stands, to give money for the purchase of arms. The UJA can't take that money because it would thereby lose its tax exemption quality. But there is a difference between tax exemption and illegality. Tax exemption is given under the law of the United States for philanthropic purposes, not for aid to a government, and particularly military aid. Now, somebody who insists on that, well, is entitled to find his own way through, but I don't think that that is our concern. I think if it can be explained to him that in the long run he would be better to remain within the organized framework of the UJA and the special campaign, it will in the long run help, and I will make this point a little clearer later when I deal with the tasks that will be facing the UJA in this situation. Now, the question of priority, bonds or redeeming your pledges or UJA, let me talk absolutely bluntly. Redeeming your pledges of 66 or 65 is very good, or 67 is very good. It's not a question of priority. You're honoring an obligation, you may be anticipating it in your own mind. It's adding, in my opinion, very little to the kind of effort that I've been talking about. I'm not denigrating it. If it can be done, it should be done, and the effort that has been made is a commendable effort. But it's not in the realm of a priority. Do I do this or that? That you do. And the question is, what more do you do? And that's the question of the priority. Now, on the question of the bonds and the UJA, I want to word my statement very carefully. Its application may be difficult in some places in the field. I don't know why it should be difficult from the objective logical approach. I understand that it may be difficult from the institutional approach. There is no question that the free gift is primary, and that we can't go on the assumption that a bond given by a Jew, and that if the chips are down, he won't claim it. And I'm sure that that would be the position in many, many cases. But bonds fulfill an important function. And the real thing is, how do you apply this in practice? And how do we rid in this situation the whole question of competitiveness? I've had this conversation with Mr. Schwartz, Dr. Schwartz, and other people. There is no difference of opinion in principle on the whole matter. Before Joe Schwartz went into hospital, we sat together, he, the Minister of Finance, and myself. The economic burden on Israel of its own enormous loan load at the moment means that the money that we can get free of having either to repay it or pay interest on it is primary. In the nature of circumstances, there will be cases, I have no doubt, of a man who says, I can only do so much for the free gift, it is easier for me to find money if I can take bonds. Well, that is a practical situation. What I am saying is so self-evident that I am hoping that the people who are responsible, both in the UJA and in the bonds, will really try to make that principle work. In the long run, I have no doubt that there will be Jews who will want to do both. The question is to see that the emphasis in these circumstances is properly placed. And I'm afraid that's the only contribution that I can make. It will probably have to be worked out at the local level more than at the national level. Now, in regard to the manpower, but just one word as to the person who raised the question of children. Israel has not the slightest intention of evacuating children. Whatever that means, and we have counted the cost of that. The morale of the people is high and they wouldn't want it, and leadership will not lend itself to any such plea. And that therefore I would ask you to tell any of your well-meaning friends, and I'm not saying this cynically, please to do what we ask them to do and not to look for any other kind of outlet. There is the work of public opinion in this country, and you know, I know that you are tackling that. There is the work of financial resources, and that's the basic effort, apart from one third effort, and that is the question of volunteers. Apart from highly specialized tasks, Israel is not asking for volunteers to the Israel Army. This is not 48. We have, according to common accepted view of military people, and I've seen it even in your press, we have the best army in the Middle East. There's no question about that. What we will need, and we are needing at this very moment, are working hands for doing all tasks which may be very commonplace, prosaic tasks. Collecting in the harvest, or picking fruit, or working in the vegetable gardens, are very commonplace tasks. There will be clerical tasks, which become more limited because of the language difficulty. But that is the kind of thing we are talking about, apart from persons with special qualifications. The response is growing. And the Jewish agency at 515 Park Avenue is already sending, I think two or three groups have already left, and they're now leaving day by day, as is all over the world. It's not easy. We have to be a little careful on the screening. I'm not talking about the security angle. I mean, we've got to be careful that the people that we are sending are going with the right frame of mind, and that we don't fill ourselves up with people with goodwill, but other quirks of personality which could make them a burden rather than a help. So that we have to, in a sense, restrain the pressure of the man who says, I'm 65, but I'm able and fit, and I'm going. Or the young man who may find it easier to go to Alabama but now wants to go to Israel. He may be better qualified for Alabama than he is for Israel. So there will be lots of heartache when we will turn down people who have all the genuine desire to go. But this volunteer force, and here we are talking as if this whole thing has been planned ahead for months. This thing burst as it burst, and we are in the process of making our policy as we go. The Israeli student is an Israeli and will be subject to his government's direction as to what he has to do. And the problems of his families, I can't give you an answer. Haven't thought about it. But the problems of his family will be the problems which will be legitimately fall into the lap of the government as to what is to happen to them. I just want to put one thing in parenthesis. Where in a community a group of people want to go, whether they're students or not, and somebody wants to raise the money for their passage, I think you should treat that as a minor matter with sympathy. Don't let the rigid rule of competitive fundraising apply to that kind of effort. It's, I think, good in the long run even for the general atmosphere relating to fundraising. Now, I was asked, and this is really the main question in regard to what we are going to spend the money on. You know for years that the government has been participating in some of our functions. Absorption in rural areas, in settlement areas, absorption in cities, absorption in regard to housing, helping in the overcrowded areas. Not only that, but we have to take off huge areas which the government did of its own free will, which it was not obliged by law to do. This is of some considerable significance, because the law is that where a government by law is obliged to do something, that is an area in which the non-taxable dollar cannot go. And we made a preliminary but very conservative estimate and had it screened both there and here by Lubin here, by Horowitz, Lou Horowitz in Israel. And we have come up, and I say this is preliminary and minimum, and I mean it because I myself have gone into this very carefully. It stands at, to use the approximate figure, it is a few thousand dollars less, at 900 million Israeli pounds. That's about $300 million. These are areas in which the government are going to pull out of our projects, and the abandonment of things that they are doing for the social welfare of the community and of the real integration of the new immigrant. And it's divided into housing, education, health, social welfare. When I talk of education, I'm talking not only of secondary education, where your IEF is functioning. I'm talking at the pre-kindergarten stage, which is completely virgin soil, apart from what WITSO does in this area, certain women's organizations, where the government has participated voluntarily. I'm dealing with the whole area of youth, where it's the youth day center, the youth club, the whole area of illiteracy, the whole area of retarded, disturbed, and handicapped children and adults, and the Institute of Higher Learning. Now, this thing has been carefully worked out, and from here I'm going to a meeting of the United Israel Inc. Is that what it's called? United Israel Appeal Inc., which is the functioning body which is checking this thing legally and which is going to pass the necessary resolutions. The important aspect in this is that we dare not, no matter how the war effort, and that is why I want you to disabuse your people's minds that this is a gimmick. How do you help the war effort? By another device. The war effort is the government and the taxpayers' total responsibility. But you don't allow the whole society of Israel to disintegrate. You don't allow the new immigrant now to shift for himself, or his children to shift for themselves, or the schools in secondary education, or the scholarship areas, or the pre-kindergarten areas, just to be annihilated overnight, not by bombs, but by sheer neglect. This is the vital area, and everybody knows from World War II. Everybody knows who knew the British situation in the earlier parts of the Battle for Britain, that the society side, the social side of it, is as vital as the front line. So please tell your friends, the guns, as an Israeli I tell you, we'll look after for ourselves. What I'm worried about are the children, the adolescents, the old, the crippled and the handicapped. These are the things that have to be looked after, and this morally is your job. And I don't know whether there will be financial assistance from the American government. I don't think that, if I may express a personal opinion, that we should find ourselves involved in any shape or form that we are prepared to bargain for economic assistance in order to make concessions in another area. I don't think that's opening for bargaining. I do know this, there may be international assistance, there may be assistance from your government, but even for that assistance, it will gather steam and weight when the tremendous pressure of what the Jews are doing and not talking in this country. You know that as well as I do. And so we're prepared to go it alone, as I say, alone with you. I want to close. Herb rightly pointed out, we are not in for any Masada. If I could quote one of your presidents, we will rather die on our feet than live on our knees. There is absolutely no difference in our position and between the civilized peoples of the world when that statement was made. We are in for no Masada, we're in for no Munich. And believe me, I say this, and I'm not trying to be prophetic. I know that standing together we'll come out of this not only victorious, a better, a finer Jewish people, both in and out of Israel.
Thank you very much, Lou. We will have another opportunity to meet with you tomorrow night and to continue with this in terms of what our presidents and we ourselves will be dealing with further. Now, before we continue with the question and discussion period, I thought we'd want to hear, at least very briefly, from Lou Fox, who is with us, president of our council, and Ed Ginsberg, the associate general chairman of UJA. Lou?
Fortunately for you, I did not know until just 2 minutes ago that I was going to have this privilege, and listening to Lou Pincus prevented my getting a long speech together. But I would like to take advantage of a group like this to express some of the very deep feelings which I have. I've been in this work for 35 years as a layperson, so maybe I do belong a little semi-pro at this meeting. I've never seen a time when lay and professional leaders wanted to do so much but were really so puzzled as to where, how, and what was going on. I think we've heard a lot this morning already to help guide our thinking. This meeting was certainly not called as a rubber stamp meeting. It was deliberately planned because here in this room, we have practically the complete professional leadership of the Jewish community in this country. I don't believe we've ever had a meeting quite with a group professionally oriented of this size under our council aegis. And I say to you that you have the real responsibility. I don't believe you can just say to a Herb Friedman or to a Lou Pincus, tell us what to do and we'll do it. You've got the know-how to think through ahead of the problems that will be facing us in the next week, in the next month, in the next year, as intelligently as anybody could possibly do. And I say this is your responsibility, not to just applaud and to cooperate. There's no question this meeting would not even have to be held. The communities of the United States are ready to go all out for the United Jewish Appeal and to help the Jews of Israel in this crisis. There are people playing a devil's advocate in many instances who have questioned some of the aspects of this situation. And this is a professional approach that is proper, because the time to ask the questions is now. not a month from now, as to what we should have done in these hectic days. So that without doing anything to hurt the cause, to the contrary, to help it, it's your responsibility this morning, not only the questions that have been asked, but to ask the questions of the leaders of the UJA who have come with us this morning, to the end that we can clear these cobwebs that might be in some minds, if not yours, in some of the people in your hometown. Because this is not a cause that goes just to the big givers that have year after year been generous with the UJA. We need a complete across the board. We need even the Doubting Thomases that we've had. So that your questions, your helping to formulate plans which can be presented tomorrow night, not only to you, but to the lay leadership, will help the UJA to get the maximum amount of money in this terrible crisis, and at the same time, without hurting the cause, do everything to maintain our normal ongoing operation, because we'll be in business for many years. I appreciate you all coming on short notice and giving me this opportunity. Thank you.
All right, Eddie, Ed Ginsburg.
I appreciate your giving me this opportunity to say a few words. I see a lot of my old bosses out there, emigres from Cleveland. I see my new bosses, my old bosses. But I did want to say this, that I've talked to a number of you fellows around the country, and your cooperation has been great, and I can't thank you enough for the help that you've been giving. I think there's one dimension of this thing, and I think it's a question of how deep our conviction is. How strong are we going to be in this effort? It isn't a question of professional responsibility or lay responsibility. I think the test is, this is Jewish responsibility. And I would ask you to do three things. One is that we have to implement this program quickly, speedily, and effectively. The second thing is that the scope, the enormity of the problem, the dimension, be made aware to everyone. This is no ordinary business. This is not business as usual. The dramatics you all know. The third thing is that every single Jew be given the opportunity to give. Not just the big guy, the little guy, everyone, every one of the 5 million Jews in America. He's part of this, and he's got to be made to feel a part of it, and he can't be denied the opportunity to participate. I can only tell you one other thing, that years ago I remember there was a slogan that said, it was a UJA slogan, it said, when the world cares less, we have to care more. And it's almost tragic that this becomes significantly true again many years later. Because I don't think that the world is caring enough. And this is a Jewish responsibility, and we have to measure up. Because believe me when I tell you this, and you know it as well as I do, that if Israel dies, each and every one of us is going to die a little too. And it won't die because we're going to see that she lives and that she survives. And it's because of your effort and people like you that will succeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Eddie. And when Eddie speaks of emigres from Cleveland, he wasn't thinking of himself, but he is. I've seen him in New York more than he's been in Cleveland, more than Hank has seen him, I'm sure, in the last few days and I think weeks. Now again, we want to open this up to questions and, of course, deal particularly now for the balance of this meeting with what we do, how we do it, what we don't do. Hank?
Even on the phone, all those crafts to me. I do want to tell you first what our immediate plans are, and then I do want.
This Henry Zucker of Cleveland.
I want to make a couple of suggestions. First, our present plan is to have to get ready for the meeting on June the 12th. This is an immediate priority. It's an immediate priority because this is the one part of the national program that's clear to everybody. Some of our people in Cleveland question this program, quite frankly, but we're going to go ahead with it just the same because this has been projected and we can't not do what everybody else is planning to do. So we're planning to hold, we've had one meeting already with our top people to get ready for this meeting. On June the 8th, next Thursday, we're having a breakfast meeting of about 20 of our leaders with Lou Pincus to produce hopefully 20 gifts against the June 12th meeting. We're having a luncheon meeting also with Lou Pincus of about 150 people. We're not sure we're ready for this meeting. This is the one with the question mark in our mind, where we will also be asking for gifts. Now, we have also set, this has nothing to do with the June 12th meeting, except coincidentally it's the night before. We have set a mass meeting at one of our hotels where we can accommodate between 3,000 and 4,000 persons, depending on whether we want them all in one room. This is on Sunday night, the 11th, at which we will invite contributions. In fact, that is the main purpose of the meeting. Also, a very strong purpose, I think, as Eddie suggested, everybody should be included in this, and people want to be included. So there's a big morale factor as well as a dollar factor. We will have pledge cards at everybody's place, and we believe that people will make pledges and make gifts. Now, I want to take issue with one thing which Lou Pincus said in his talk, because I think this is very, very important. That has to do with collections on the 1967, mainly the 1967, and prior year's accounts. The reason for that is that this will produce immediate cash. There's a secondary reason, which is that a person who's paid up his gift, as everybody here knows as well as I do, a person who's paid up his gift is a much better prospect than a person who has not paid up his gift. So I would assign to that the A1 priority, and we have gotten busy already on this. And incidentally, we closed our campaign just a few days ago. The day afterwards, we sent out a notice, a billing. The billing, because of the size of it, is staggered in 3 days, third each day. We put in a little card, very low pressure statement, to the effect that it would be very helpful if people could pay their gifts up as fast as they possibly can. Normally we have 4 billings. Over 90%, more than 90%, first few days 99% of the returns. We've had 3 days return, so that I'm talking now about just a couple thousand items. But more than 90% paid up in full. I went through about 500 returns, and only 2 of those 500 on the day that I went through them was for less than the full amount. Now, we're talking here of $5, $10, $15, and $100 bills. We're not now talking about the big amounts, which we're having to handle, as always, on an individual basis, although they're billed. And many of our people have already indicated that they will put together some money to pay up their bill in full. One man told me yesterday that he has just sold $100,000 of securities in order to pay up his account. I'm talking now about the big ones. Another man told me that he is borrowing $200,000 in order to pay up his current and past obligations. This is a very, very important point, I believe, and should not be overlooked. I think Lou Pincus may have misunderstood the question, or I believe he would agree with us. It's not a question of this having a priority over new gifts. Everybody recognizes that the new gifts are absolutely essential to this effort and in the end become the most important item. But in terms of the stage at which we are now, it's very, very important in my mind that we get all the cash we possibly can while the feelings are running high. And I believe that if you handle yourself in this situation, you'll get a lot of money. I might say that among these small items, there were 70 or 80 people who send in extra money. A man gave $75 and he sent in $250. Said the rest is for the Israel crisis and so on. The reason I cite this is not to tell you that large sums of money are involved, because that's not true, but rather to indicate to you that the feeling underneath is there. Now, I'll come to my second point, because this becomes very important in terms of the big money. The suggestion of five times the normal gift may be a rule of thumb that is something to talk about. I don't quite buy it, frankly, because I think with some people it should be 100 times the normal gift, and with other persons, maybe the normal gift is about as much as a man can give to the emergency. There are people in this country who, many people, who are giving as much or more to the campaign now as they've ever given in their whole history. There are other people who gave hundreds of thousands of dollars in the past who are now not doing their share, haven't been doing their share for many years. And these are the persons who, I think, have great potential in terms of multiplying their gift many times over. And I think this is something we must be conscious of, not to just buy a slogan. I know Herb didn't mean it that way, but it does seem to me that we have to keep that in mind, that the people who are the most generous givers will be the most generous givers again, but there are many, many people among your small givers and among your large givers who are quite capable of giving 10 and 20 and 50 times what they've been giving. Some have passed a year or two. We don't permit that in Cleveland. I know some of you don't permit it, but other cities do permit it. And we've got to be conscious of the fact that those are the people we must hit very, very hard this time. Now, I'll wind up with just one more suggestion. And that is that as fast as we get individual gifts that are exemplary gifts, Herb and Eddie, as fast as we get them, let's get them out into the communities. Our people in Cleveland, I must tell you, are not ready for Thursday. They won't be ready until they hear what some other people are doing. We better be ready to give them some information about what other people are doing, starting with everybody who is at the top of the United Jewish Appeal Organization.
Thank you, Hank. Yes, I would just like to underscore what Hank said about cash, because this is not just an individual judgment of Hank's. I said at the very beginning of the conclusion that Max Fisher and Herb Friedman and Gotthammer and Lou Fox and I and a few others reached 2 weeks ago when this first broke, as to what was the most important thing we could do in terms of what did Israel need most from us. And we were completely agreed, all of us, that it needed cash. It, for the kinds of needs which have been outlined, you don't deal with human needs in terms of credit. These bills have to be met and met now, and so we agreed that the very first thing we would do would be to enter on this cash drive. We called as many of you personally as we could that Monday morning, the next few days, to launch this. And when Hank said personal attention, what he meant was what you know, that in addition to billing, we have campaign collection, cash collection committees going in many cities, paralleling the kind of campaigns we've had where people have taken cards, have called individuals, have had meetings to say, will you pay up completely your past obligations where you have them and your current ones, looking ahead to what you would ordinarily do in the next 12 months, pay them now. And the reports we've been getting from many communities is that this is meeting with a wonderful response, of course. People are saying, if this is what we can do most, you can have it. And Hank told you about people are borrowing and selling securities and so forth. So that is still very, very much underway. I would agree with Hank that Lou may have misunderstood the question, because all of us are agreed on the supreme importance of doing this while this other goes forward. Yes, Nat? And then I'll get to you. Yes. Will you all speak loudly? I'm sorry, there's no floor mic, but they can't hear you back there. Loudly.
We've already started our emergency fund. We've had two community meetings, and I cannot underestimate what the small men will give. And I say this, Herb, just by way of an idea, a $25 giver gave us $1,100 at this community meeting. Now, a young rabbi who gave us a $10 bill came up and gave us $1,000. The small men, their potential is tremendous.
We're convinced.
And we have $45,000 in cash already. In other words, we said no pledges on the table, and very shortly you will receive from Charleston $45,000 or $50,000, plus an additional $50,000 will borrow from the bank $100,000.
Thank you. Now, Art Mincer of Oakland, California.
First, I think that the
visits made by Israeli government officials, by tourist officials, by El Al officials, and by bond officials in our community that the Israel government does not want charity. Now, if we're going to work together on this, we have to begin thinking and dealing with these things on some sort of a coordinated, disciplined basis. I know the local community has to work out problems, but there has to be some discipline from the national organizations, and we haven't seen it yet in our area. Second, I don't feel that the business of the supplementary campaigns should simply be brushed away. If we have 12 or 15 or 20 rabbis chasing around our area to raise $25,000 to send kids on a summer program to Israel in order to relieve people for defense, then they're misusing their time and their energy. And I would say that the Jewish Agency has a responsibility to help work out the financing of this so that we can use the rabbis in order to raise more money than the $25,000 to $30,000.
Okay.
If we have Hadassah chasing around telling people that they must give money to Hadassah in order to bring children here for the summer from Israel, then something is wrong, because money and effort and time is going into the wrong direction. Now, these are things that have to be done on a national level, and then we can carry them out on a local level. Secondly, I would like to suggest that we do some talking at this particular point about these two or three factors which come up on any campaign. First, are the ads which UJA are going to place, the publicity, going to be done nationally or through us as in the past locally? Secondly, what kind of help are we going to get with speakers and with other persons of this sort in terms of mass meetings as well as with respect to big news meetings?
Art, you've really raised three issues or questions. One, the clarity on the priority of free dollars and the full cooperation of bonds and UJA. Secondly, effective control of these multiple appeals. And third, the whole question of publicity aids nationally for the local effort. Herb, do you want to deal with this? And Leo Bernstein of Bonds is here. And Leo, I'm remembering that all the time in terms of your participation on any of this.